pray. Heavenly Father, we're thankful that we have this honor and privilege. Lord, we're unable to do anything by ourselves. And Lord, we pray that you'd help us today as we preach. We pray for this congregation of people that are here. And Lord, we pray that you touch them with the message. May we all benefit from your word as we will, if we listen and depend on the power of the Spirit. And Lord, we pray for your power to be here today. If anybody don't know you today, may today be the day of salvation for them. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. You can be seated. Now, this is a three-part series that we're looking at. And the first lesson we looked at Lot's city. And we spent some time on the city of Sodom. And, of course, they had many sins. When you bring the book of Ezekiel in with the book of Genesis, they had the sin of pride, the sin of gluttony, and they had several other sins. But the sin that the city of Sodom is known for more than any other sin is a sin that is associated with their name, and that is the sin of sodomy, which is the sin of homosexuality. And that's in the Old Testament scriptures, when they refer to sodomy, that's what the text is indeed referring to. So we looked at that last time we was here. We looked at Lot's city. And what we're going to do today is look at Lot's righteousness. And then if the Lord lets us live till next Sunday, we'll look at Lot's deliverance. Lot being delivered out of Sodom is a great picture of the second coming. So, I beg you to come back next week to hear the picture from Lot. Jesus used Lot as an example of the second coming in Luke 17. And I really want you to hear it real bad. It's really important for you to hear it. So we'll look at his deliverance. But today, what we're looking at, we're going to look at Lot's righteousness. Now, I've said this before, and I'm going to say it again. If I didn't have 2 Peter 2, verses 6 through 9, I have to tell you that I would think Lot was probably lost. I would probably tell you that he was a professor, but not a possessor, because when you really look at him back in the Old Testament, he shows a lot of poor decision-making. He shows a lot of poor things that he did. How did he end up in Sodom? He made the choice to live in Sodom. He made, like I said before, a good business decision. It was a place where he pitched his tent toward Sodom. He put it on the plain in the beginning, which was good for his crops, would have been good for his animals and all these different things. But eventually he ends up having some type of position in the city of Sodom. And what the Bible says about Sodom is that the men of Sodom was exceedingly wicked above all that were on the face of the earth. So he made strictly a business decision in that situation, I think. I don't believe when he made his decision, he asked the Lord at all. And once he got there, he didn't leave. And he didn't leave until the day that the Lord sent two angels in to bring him out of that city before he destroyed it. And we've already looked at that. So you really, when you look at him, he doesn't seem in the book of Genesis to show a lot of evidence of someone that's saved, yet there is some evidence that's there. I want you to know, as we look at this text in 2 Peter, and this message is entitled today, Take Men, Lot's Righteousness. Lot's Righteousness. Or, this is probably how I'll put it on sermon audio, Just Lot with a question mark. Just Lot with a question mark, a righteous man, question mark. So three times in this text, the Holy Spirit wants you to know that Lot was a righteous man. It stresses it. And when you say something, if I tell you something once, but if I tell you something three times, I'm putting emphasis on it. And that's what Simon Peter is doing here. Let's look back at verse 7. It says, he delivered just Lot. Now, just doesn't, we sometimes use that in the sense of only. But the word just is the word righteous. It's the word righteous Lot. Does everybody got that? The same Greek word that's translated just in verse 7 is translated righteous in verse 8. Exact same word in the Greek. No difference. So what he's telling you is that in the eyes of God, that Lot was a just man, that Lot was a righteous man. And three times he tells you that in this text. He tells it to us in verse 7. He tells it in verse 8. Tells it us again in verse 8. He uses the term righteous soul. Righteous man in verse 8. Righteous soul also in verse 8. And then verse 7, just lot, which is the same Greek word translated righteousness, righteous in the other verses. Three times he tells you that he was a righteous man. Three times. How many times? Three times he tells you, because he wants you to take note of this man. Was Lot saved by grace? Well, yeah, he was saved by grace. That's the only way a man can be saved. To be saved by grace means that your salvation's not earned. Your salvation's not deserved. And the sooner you realize that, the better off you are. In the book of Luke, we're told about two men that went up to the temple to pray. The one was a Pharisee and the other was a publican. And it displays their prayer. Jesus gave this to the Pharisees to kind of give them a rebuke. But one of the things that the Pharisee prayed was, Lord, I thank you that I'm not as other men. And he began to name all the things that he wasn't. Then he began to say, am I like this publican? That's what he said. So he bragged on all the deeds that he did. He fasted, he prayed, he gave tithes of all he possessed. He never made one mention of anything but his own deeds. And then we're introduced in the book of Luke chapter 18, we're introduced to this publican. When you wanted to point out a sinner in the day of the Lord Jesus, you pointed to a publican. They were thieves. They collected taxes for the Roman government as Jews. And they would collect more than they were supposed to. And if you wanted to point to a sinner, you pointed to a publican. But if you wanted to point to someone that the people considered godly, you pointed to the Pharisees. Well, when that old publican prayed, he cried out, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. He realized he was a sinner. He realized he was undone. He realized he had nothing to offer the Lord, and he came to him. You know what the Bible said? You know what the Bible says about that publican? It said, this man went home to his house justified. Same kind of word that's used for Lot. He never deserved it. He had been a tremendous sinner. He had probably stole off people. He probably was someone that people hated, but he realized his need for a Savior by the grace of God, and he called upon the name of the Lord, and God said he went home justified. Same thing was true of Lot. You don't see a lot of evidence in the Old Testament. There is some there, and I'm going to point some of them out here a little bit. But three times it tells you he was a righteous man. He had a righteous standing before God. And I want to say this one more time. He had a righteous standing before God. He had been declared righteous. He had God's imputed righteousness. So, how was Lot saved? Well, he was saved the same way that Abram was saved. And I want you to turn with me to Genesis chapter 15. Now, we got the evidence of the New Testament that he was saved, and you can't dispute that this morning. You have to concede that though he wasn't everything that he should have been, you have to concede the fact that Lot was a saved man. As a matter of fact, he said in verse 9 of the chapter that I read in 2 Peter that God knows how to deliver the godly out of. He's also called a godly man. You have to concede that. The Holy Spirit made it crystal clear that he was indeed a saved man. How was he saved? Saved the same way as Abram. Now, I want you to keep your place here, one finger in Genesis 15. But I want you to put the other finger in Romans chapter 4. Well, I'm going to build the case. Actually, Romans 4 is built off the verse I'm going to read here in Genesis 15. So keep your place also in Romans 4, because there's some things I want you to see here today. Genesis 15, verse 5. And he brought him forth abroad. Now, this is the Lord. Let me just skip up to verse 4. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this is unto Abraham, this shall be thy heir. But he that shall come, this shall not be thine heir. But he that shall come forth out of your own bowels shall be thine heir. Now you'll remember what happened is Sarah had sent in her handmaiden Hagar to Abraham. And well, you know, Abraham had eventually, he was probably 80, 90 years old. And God had promised him an heir and he never did have one. So what Sarah did and Abram did is they got a little ahead of the Lord. So she sent her handmaiden into him, and her name was Hagar. And he had a child by Hagar. Do y'all remember what that child's name was? Ishmael. Ishmael. And God said, that's not the heir. He said, I'm going to make a great nation of him, but here's what the scripture says about Ishmael. It says he'd be a wild man. He said that his hand would be against every man, and every man's hand will be against him, and he will dwell amongst his brothers. You know what nation come from them? The Arab nations come from Ishmael. When you look over in the Middle East, they're all brothers. They trace their descendant or lineage right to Abraham. So they came from him. But that wasn't the chosen seed. That wasn't the chosen line. That chosen line was going to come from somebody that would come from Abram and Sarah. Of course, Abram was 100 and Sarah was 90 whenever this promised child was born. He made him the promise when he was about 70. Now, if he was like me, anything like me, if the Lord told me I was going to have a child when I was 70, I'd be expecting to have one when I was 71. Lord waited till he was 100. It was a miraculous birth, but he indeed did have a child. So that promised child would be Isaac. Through Isaac would come the nation of Israel. Through Isaac would come him. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Jacob had 12 sons, 12 tribes of Israel. Through Abraham, all nations would be blessed. How is that? Through Abraham came King Jesus. Through Abraham, through the lineage of Abram, Isaac, and Jacob, come the Messiah, the Lord Jesus. We're blessed all the way down here to Bancroft today. Amen. Because of who came through Amen. That lineage. All God's people say it. I want you to get that. Give you a little bit of the history of it. Verse 5 says, he brought him forth abroad, and he said, look now towards heaven. Tell the stars. The word tell means to count them, if thou be able to number them. Now, For years, man would have thought there was a certain amount of stars. And I guess somebody went out there one day and figured just about how many they were. And every time they get these telescopes and look out, they find more and more galaxies. And now we know today that the stars are innumerable. The stars are innumerable. But you know, the Bible says that God calls them all by name. Amen. We ain't got sense enough to count them. But he's got a name for every one of them because he's God. That's how great he is. Everybody see that? So he says, tell them. It means to count them. He says, so shall your seed be. The seed of Abraham would be innumerable. Now, are we just talking about Jews according to the flesh? No, no. We're talking about all the seed of Abraham. The book of Galatians says, if you be Christ, you're Abraham's seed. The book of Philippians chapter 3 says, we are the circumcision, which rejoice in the Messiah Jesus and have no confidence in our flesh. If you trust Christ as your Savior, you're a spiritual Jew. So you're included in under this covenant. Now look at verse 6. Here's what I was after. Just give you all that history for fun. And he believed in the Lord, and it was what? Counted to him for righteousness. I want everybody in the house to see that. He believed the Lord, and it was counted or imputed or charged to him for righteousness. Everybody see it? So how was Abraham saved? He was saved by faith. God made a promise. Abraham believed it. And God charged righteousness to his account based on faith in that promise. All God's people say it? Amen. All right, now I want you to turn to Romans 4. That's my basis right there. I wanted you to see. You stay with me. You say, why are you showing us all that? I'm going to show you that Abraham was saved by faith, and I'm also going to show you that Lot was saved the same way as his uncle was. Because when it says that he was righteous or just, that means he had a righteous standing before God. He would have got that the same way that Abram did, and that is by faith. Lot was saved by faith. Is everybody in Romans 4? Now, what Paul, who before he was saved was a Jewish rabbi, he knew the Old Testament scriptures. And under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to show how God saves a man, guess where he went to? He went to Genesis 15 and verse 6. The text that I read to you is the one that he went to. Verse 1 of Romans 4. I want everybody to see it. Now, stay with me this morning, folks. What I'm telling you is not flashy, but boy, it's real important. You need to understand about God's righteousness today. Abraham wasn't saved by his own righteousness. He was saved by Christ's righteousness, and so was Lot. He was saved the same way, saved by faith. People say that all the time. How was he saved in the Old Testament? They were saved by faith, same as people in the New Testament, and the same as people today. Right. Hebrews chapter 11, the great hero of faith chapter, by faith Noah, by faith Abraham, by faith Enoch. They were saved by faith. They were saved by trusting in the coming Messiah. Notice what it says in Romans 4. What shall we say then, verse 1, that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? Verse 2, for if Abraham was justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. If Abraham was saved by his works, it's what this is saying, he would have a right to glory or to brag. Ephesians 2, and when it's talking about salvation, says this, for by grace are you saved. And when you use the term grace, it means it's not by works. It would make good common sense, wouldn't it, that if you could be saved by your works, that salvation would be that way. If old, rotten, no good for nothing Jeff Arthur could be saved by his deeds, apart from the humiliating, sacrificial death of his son, don't you think salvation would have been that way? The fact that the king had to come here, be born, live a perfect life, go to Calvary, substitute himself for you, rise again the third day, is clear evidence there's no other way you could be saved other than by that sacrificial death and resurrection of Jesus. Oh, God's people say, there is no other way. And if a man tries to trust in his own deeds, you'll never make it that way. And the devil's behind that, folks. You can do all the good you think you can do, but it'll never be enough. You need the proper righteousness. You need a righteous standing before God. Ephesians 2, 8, 9 says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, that not of yourselves. That not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. What else does it say? Let's all do that together. Not of works. Let's do it together. Not of works. Lest any man should do what? You ain't got no braggarts in heaven. Man, if you people love to brag on what they earn. I listen to people do that all the time. Oh, boy, I've worked hard. Look out there in that car. Look out in that driveway at that brand new truck I got. Look at this nice, fine home I got. I've earned every bit of that. They like to brag on what they earn. Don't realize God gave them the breath and the place to work and the ability to work. And God can take it away that fast. Men like to brag on what they work for, but I'm going to tell you what, there won't be no braggarts in heaven. None. Because everybody there. In the book of Revelation, it's mentioned how everyone in heaven has on a crown. They take that crown and they throw it at the feet of who? Jesus, and says, thou art worthy, O Lamb, to receive honor, praise, and glory. That's why we're there, it's because of him. Abraham's there today, folks. Amen. Jesus said that many will come from the east and the west and sit down in the kingdom with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's there. He's already there. How did he get there? He got there by faith in Christ. He got there by the righteousness of Christ. Is everybody there? Let's look here now. Now, Paul uses him as an example of being justified by faith, of having received Christ's righteousness. Notice what it says, verse 3. For what saith the Scripture? And I want you to know something. That's what makes the difference. What saith the Scripture? I don't care what people's opinion is. What's important is what does the Scripture say. People give you their opinion about this, and I say, well, what does the Scripture say? Well, I don't know. Well, the Scriptures is what's important, because that's God's Word. Amen. What said the Scriptures? Abraham believed God. Now, what verse is he quoting of Genesis 15, 6? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now, the word counted in verse 3 is the same word in verse 6. It's translated imputed, same word. Abraham believed God, and it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. Now watch this in verse 5. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted or imputed for righteousness. Even, this is Psalms 32, he quotes Genesis 15:6, then he quotes Psalms 32, even as David described the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputes righteousness without works. Everybody see it? How was Abram saved? How was he saved? He was saved by faith. That's what Romans 4 is all about. He quotes Genesis 15:6 as the proof text to show that Abraham wasn't saved by his deeds. He was saved by faith in God's promise. And that's the same way that God, people are saved today. And what does the Lord do? He imputes to them righteousness. So you say, Jeff, why'd you say all that for? Because Lot was saved the same way. He's saved the same way as his uncle. Abram believed God. It was counted to him for righteousness. That's the same way Lot was saved. That's the reason why. Three times in 2 Peter 2, it says he was just. He was righteous. He was righteous. He had a righteous standing with God. He got that the same way Abram got his righteous standing, by faith in God's promise. So you know what? It's still the same way today. It ain't changed a bit. Go all the way back to the book of Genesis, bring it all the way down to Revelations, all the way down to today. It's still the exact same way. Faith in Christ Jesus. Faith in God's promise. So how was Lot saved? Why is he called a righteous man? He had Christ's righteousness charged to his account. You say, well, Jesus hadn't died yet. It was all future, wasn't it? It was all future, but they're still saved. Folks, they had to be cleansed by the blood the same as we have to be. They weren't saved a different way in the Old Testament. They were saved the same. The only difference between us and them is their faith looked forward to the coming of the Messiah. What does ours do? We look back. But still, salvation is still the same way. So, Lot was saved the same way. And the book of 2 Peter makes it clear that he had a righteous standing before God. Now, let me ask you a question. How is your standing before God today? I just want to know, how is your standing with God? Have you trusted Christ as your Savior? You might say, well, I've heard this before. I've done the best I can, or I'm doing the best that I can. I just want you to know that's not good enough. You need a Savior. And you don't need 50% righteousness, or you don't need to be swaying to the good part as far as good deeds. You need 100% righteousness, and the only place you can get that is in Christ Jesus. Matthew chapter 6, I'm going to move off this real fast because I talk a lot about it, but I don't really care because people need to know it. We sung that song, The Solid Rock, this morning. Did you catch that part of the song, The Solid Rock? Dressed in His righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. Dressed in His righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. Do you think the thief on the cross was faultless to stand before the throne? I'm just asking. He said, well, he just got saved a few hours before he died. Was he faultless? Is he faultless before the throne? Absolutely. His sin was charged to Jesus, and Jesus' righteousness was charged to him. That 100% righteousness of Jesus is pictured in the book of Revelation as a white robe. And when any time it reveals the members of heaven and it reveals the people of heaven in the book of Revelation, they always have one all white, because everyone there got there the exact same way, through the righteousness of Jesus Christ and the cleansing of their sin by His blood. All God's people said. That's the only way it can happen. That's how Lot got saved. That's how Abraham got saved. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33 says this. You don't have to turn there. It says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Seek ye first. Now, when it says seek ye first, it means it's first in priority. I want you to know today there's nothing any more important than being part of His kingdom. God's kingdom's an everlasting kingdom. God's kingdom lasts forever. God's kingdom's a perfect kingdom. It's going to be ruled over by a perfect king. One of these days, His kingdom is going to be set up on a new earth. An earth where there'll be no sickness and pain or sorrow or suffering or death. It won't be corrupted by the sin curse whatsoever. That's in our future. So he says, seek that first. There's nothing any more important than be able to say today that you're a citizen of his kingdom. I'm a citizen. To have citizenship, you got to trust the king. Paul said in the book of Philippians 3, he said, his conversation is above. And the idea of that is his citizenship is above. I want you to know this morning, man, this earth ain't my final home. Man, the Bible says that we're pilgrims and strangers here. And I want you to know you're just passing through here. And you don't know how long you're going to be here. You just don't know how long that's going to be. This might be the last day that you'll walk on this planet, and then you'll be in eternity. And the day you die, all that matters is whether or not you have citizenship in his kingdom. Amen. And in order to have that, you have to trust the king. Amen. You have to trust the king. The thief on the cross said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. That man had nothing to offer Jesus. He couldn't point to his baptism. He couldn't point to his church membership. He couldn't point to all of the good things that he's done. He was a thief and rotten and no good. And the Holy Spirit brought about conviction on that man's heart a few hours before he died. And he did, like the text says, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Y'all believe that?
Amen.
I'd rather you call soon, though, because you don't know you will get an opportunity to. I remember a boy I witnessed to one time was talking. He said, now, I know all that stuff's true, but what I'm going to do is right before I die, I'm going to say, Jesus saved me. Oh, boy, gambling with his soul, isn't it? You don't know you're going to get the opportunity to say, Jesus saved me when you die. Many people go out so fast they don't know what happened until they're in eternity. You need to know him, folks. You need to know him today. You need to have what we're speaking of today. You need to be a part of his kingdom, and you need to have his righteousness in order to get there. Lord, saved that thief. Same way he saved the thief is the same way he saved me. Same way he saved Abraham is the same way he saved me. And that's the same way Lot was saved. And that's why he's called a righteous man three times in 2 Peter 2. Do something with that. You can't. The scriptures are clear why he was righteous. It wasn't by his deeds. It was by God's righteousness that he was saved. All right. Let me move to my second point. I'm not going to lay on that real long because I wear it out. Because I run into too many people that don't know about Christ's righteousness. I run into too many that way. Romans 10, Paul said this about his own people. I want you to listen to what he said. They being ignorant of God's righteousness, and they go about to establish their own righteousness, and have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of Christ. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes it. The only way you can get what you need is trust Jesus. That's the only way. All right, that's how Lot was saved, by the way. That's how Lot was saved. Was there evidence that Lot was saved? Did he show any evidence of a Christian? He did. Let's go back to the book of 2 Peter. Let's go back to that text. And I'll finish. Don't get excited. I got a little finishing to do yet. But I will finish on this second point, then we'll close. Look at 2 Peter. Look at 2 Peter. That's where we began today. And that's where our series is at. What are we looking at? What have we looked at? We've looked at Lot's city. And now we're looking at Lot's righteousness. Now, does everybody in the house know how Lot was righteous, had a righteous standing? He had Jesus' righteousness. Saved by faith the same way as Lot was saved. I mean, same way as Abram was saved. And Paul used Abram as an example of justification by faith in Romans 4 and in the book of Galatians. Did both. Okay? Now, did he have any evidence? Now, if someone's been born again, are they going to show evidence of it? Yes, there'll be evidence there. There'll be a change there. If someone's born again, old things pass away, all things become new, they have a new standing before God, but they also have a new way of living. Have a new way of living. You say, well, you said you wasn't saved your works. You're not. I'm just telling you, you're changed after you're saved. Look at Matthew chapter 5. Lord Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they see your good works and glorify your Father. People need to see Jesus in you. They need to be able to tell that you're saved. but how you conduct yourself and how you act and what you do. Not for salvation, but because of it. I mean, you're a child of the King. You need to act like it. Do you not agree? You're a child of the Most High God. You need to live like it. Conduct yourself like it. The Bible says that we are ambassadors for Christ. What is an ambassador? It's a representative. We have representatives from other nations that comes to our country, and the ambassadors represent their nation to your nation. We're pilgrims and strangers here, but we are His ambassadors. We represent the Lord Jesus as long as we walk on this earth. And young people, I want you to know, where you go to school at and where you live at, everybody here that's saved, you represent Jesus where you're at. And don't forget who you represent. Don't forget who you represent. I don't want to do anything that will reflect badly on my Savior. Sometimes I do. How about you? Sometimes we, not always what we should be, but I do, there's a sincere desire in my heart is to represent my King well. I want to represent my King well. I don't want to bring reproach to His name. And you can do that too. You can do that too. So there should be evidences of it. Evidences of being saved. What was His evidence? I'm going to just deal with one. I got a lot here I could do, but I'm going to go to the main thing. I'm going to get the gravy and go right to the main thing here. So here's one of the greatest evidences that Lot was a righteous man. One of the greatest evidence of it. Now, are you with me? Verse 7. And he delivered just Lot. Now, I want you to see this word vexed. Everybody see the word vexed? He was vexed with the filthy. The word conversation is your conduct. He was vexed with the filthy conduct of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them in seeing and hearing, it vexed his righteous soul. I don't know why he didn't leave. But what this is saying is he never liked what was going on in Sodom. He didn't like it. The word vexed means what went on around him, Larry, tormented his heart. He had a tormented heart and a tormented man, which makes you wonder why he didn't do what? Why he didn't leave. He had his business there. I figure he had a good position there. But yet, what went on in Sodom tormented his mind. It vexed him. That's a sign of the new birth. That's a sign of being saved. He didn't like what was going on around him. Notice what it says here. Verse 8 again, for that righteous man dwelling among them in seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The sin of Sodom vexed his soul, tormented his heart. And it says what he saw and what he heard, the sin that went on there, vexed his soul from day to day. That's a sign of being saved. If sin don't vex you, there's something wrong with it. Something wrong with you. Sin will vex you if you're close to the Lord. Now, sometimes a person can drift and they can get calloused, and I've seen that happen. But the Lord will deal with you if you're that way. I'm going to tell you, it's a dangerous thing to get calloused in what you see and what you hear. But I'm worried about something. Here's what I'm worried about. I'm worried that sin no longer vexes God's people anymore. It doesn't torment their mind. I'll tell you what. I don't know what you can watch on television anymore. That doesn't. I mean, I don't. You should be sick of seeing the adultery and the sodomy and the filthy talk and the drunkenness and everything that's on that thing. I mean, does that not vex you to see it? But you know, you piping that thing right in your house. As kids watch that junk day in and day out, it has a great effect on how they think and what they say is right and what they say is wrong. If young people anymore in our nation ain't taught the Bible, if they don't get it at home and in the churches anymore ain't teaching the Bible either, all the ones entertaining people. God's people need God's Word and unsaved people need God's Word. And when you teach God's Word, sometimes it'll cut and it'll reveal what sin is and so on. And what people need today is the Word of God. They need to be convicted by the Word of God. Does what you see vex you? Does sin not bother you anymore? Does it not have an impact on you? I'll turn that thing on and say, I don't even like to listen to the news. I get sick of hearing about it. And I'm just vexed at what I see and vexed at what I hear. Are you? Man, when you get to the point that it don't bother you, that's when you've drifted. When it don't, you know, the Lord, when you're close to Jesus, I want to tell you what it does. It gives you a sensitive conscience. But when you drift from Jesus, oh, that conscience is not white. You know, conscience can get seared. I've used the illustration of my poor old hands. I tease with Sexton all the time. My hands used to be, I had calluses all over them where I worked with my hands so much, you know, shoveled, did all that smart work, lift center blocks and shingles and shovel. And I had calluses all over them. You know how I got calluses? From doing the same thing over and over. Kept doing. Got blisters in the beginning. Got blisters in the beginning, but as I continued to do it over time, my hands got calloused and it didn't hurt no more. And it never bothered me anymore. Everybody hear where I'm coming from? It's the way people do with sin. In seeing and hearing, they get calloused. Oh, in the beginning, it cut them and it hurt. But as they continue to watch and take it in through the avenues of their eyes and then into their mind, and then that sin loses the horribleness to it. See? And it don't hurt anymore. The United States don't hurt no more. It don't hurt no more. They've filled that, they've filled that idiot box full of so much junk, and they've put it through the eyes of the people so much that they don't take the time to think about what I just watched there was adultery. What I just watched there was fornication. What I just watched there was homosexuality. What I just watched there was drunkenness. And it never bothered me one bit to watch it. And that little voice that should be in your mind saying, look, this is horrible, has just grown silent and don't mean nothing to people. Even Lot, I want you to hear this, even Lot was vexed by what he saw. Even Lot. We don't think he was a very good Christian, but even he was vexed at what he saw and he heard. You need to get off Lot. At least he was tormented by it. The idea of vexed is it tormented him what he see. That's an evidence of being born again. That's an evidence of being saved. If sin don't vex you, you're drifted. If it don't vex your soul, you've drifted, and you're not where you need to be. And you know how people get that way? The constant viewing of it. Constantly taking it in. Constantly taking it in. Then it ain't bad no more. Just as sinful as it always was. It's just you're no longer tormented by it. What's happened to our churches? Well, one thing, they've quit preaching. I'll just be honest, they don't preach anymore. I want you to know the Holy Spirit works through the book that he authored. He uses this book to bring about, you know, the seed of the new birth is the Scriptures. You know how you grow as a Christian? Look at Peter says, desire the sincere milk of the Word that ye may grow thereby. You know when the devil wants to make you worldly, you know how he'll go after? He'll go after this book. He'll unplug you from this power source right here so where you're not reading it. You just don't need the Bible at church, folks. You need the Bible every day of your life. The average American watches 4 hours of television and spends 5 minutes a day in this book. That's the ones that spend 5 minutes a day. I'm going to ask for, if you spend five, no, I'm not going to do it. I'd be afraid to do it. 5 minutes a day reading this book. It's a fine book right here. 5 minutes a day. 4 to 5 hours in front of a television set, watching their stories. Their what? Their stories. Man, some of them stories are horrible. But we're not vexed by it. Don't bother it. Don't hurt. Don't hurt. Why? Seeing and hearing constantly. Seeing and hearing constantly. Lot was vexed. Lot had a righteous standing by faith in Jesus, but he also had a changed heart, and that's why the sin of Sodom did what? It vexed him. It bothered him. It bothers me what I see and hear. It bothers me. God's people need to get repulsed by sin again to where they don't want to take it in all the time. That'll change what you watch. And it'll change your life too. It'll make you closer to the Lord. It'll make you more fruitful as a Christian. You need to take in more of this, won't you? If you ain't got one of these books, we'll give you one. Get you a daily bread. Of course, I think we done give all the daily. You need to get in this book every day of your life. It'll make a difference in you. You know, this book is just like water. It washes your mind. It cleans you. It gets you thinking straight. It shows you what sin is and what's right and what's wrong. It does. It'll have a cleansing effect upon you. The first thing the devil goes after in the life of a new saint is he goes after this. Well, hey, let's forget that. This is the thing he goes after in the lives of all saints. He don't want you in here. This book keeps you strong. This book keeps you focused. Book of Romans chapter 12 says that we are to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. You know how often we need to renew our mind? Every day. We need to renew it every day. Rededicate it to the Lord. Let the Lord be our first thoughts. And be in His Word and hear it. All right. Was Lot saved? Yep. You're not going to win that debate. Three times it said he was a righteous man. How was he saved? Same way Abram was saved. And newsflash, same way we were saved. Faith. Faith. Faith in the Messiah. What happened to his sin? Jesus paid for it. They looked forward to the coming atonement. It was pictured in the Passover, what Jesus was going to do. They looked forward to it. We look back at it. Lord's Supper points you back. Passover pointed you forward. See the difference? But it was always based on Jesus' blood. Faith in Christ takes your sin and gives you His righteousness. And then you're dressed, Mike, in His righteousness. Dressed in His righteousness alone. That's how you know you're going. When I'm on my deathbed, I surely hope I don't wonder whether I've done enough or not. Haven't done enough. Haven't done enough. That's why I need a what? Savior, so do you. Now that I'm saved, I got the Holy Spirit in me, and I got a new nature in me that wants to serve the Lord. It wants to serve Him. Now old things has passed away and all things have become new. I wonder it's different. I look at life different now. I want to serve Him. I want to please Him. Sin vexes me. When I see sin in my life, it vexes me. Sometimes I weep over things that I see in me. Do you? Man, we ain't tender no more about sin. I mean, sin should break you. I don't like what I see in me at times. Sometimes I'll get alone with the Lord and just cry and say, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me for this. Forgive me for that. It just breaks me. Why is that? Sin vexes me. Turn on the television and then you, all that filth, you can't watch it because it vexes you. I don't want to watch adultery. Why do I want to watch a show that depicts adultery? Why would I want to watch a show that depicts homosexuality? Why would I want to watch a show that depicts drunkenness? That should vex us. That should vex our torment, our mind. We long for glory, don't we? We long for glory. We're looking forward to a place. We're looking for a place where there's no sin and where there's a Savior. And one of these days we're going to be there. You know the greatest thing about heaven other than Jesus being there and my loved ones being there after that is I won't sin when I'm there. I'll be perfect. Scripture says when we see Him, we'll be like Him. Now the Holy Spirit's working on us now, isn't He? Let me ask you a question in conclusion. Number one, do you have a righteous standing with God? Have you trusted Jesus? Without Jesus, you don't have it. If you've never trusted Him, you say, well, I don't know whether I have it or not. You need to settle today. He'll save you right there where you're at. Lord, I want you to save me. If you don't save me, Betty McClung, what she prayed, Lord, if you don't save me, I'll go to hell. That's what she prayed. And she was right. And Lord saved her. And she ain't looked back since. He'll do the same thing. Do the same thing for you. How about today? If you're here today and saved and you look in your life and sin don't vex you, then you've drifted. You ain't where you should be. And you need to repent of that. Say, Lord, I've drifted. I've watched things I ain't got no business watching, and I've drifted, and I've not spent no time in your word or no time in your house like I should. I want you to forgive me. And boy, you'll tell when you're getting closer. You know how you tell when you get closer to Jesus? Sin bothers you more, Mike. It vexes you more. So was Lot saved? Did he have a righteous standing? Yeah, by faith. Was he a changed man? Yes, he was. Sin, though he was there, still what he saw and what he heard vexed his heart. My question to you today is, does it vex yours? Does it vex yours? Let's all stand. Thank you. Thank you for your attention to this morning. You come back tonight, and we're going to be in Romans 8. I encourage you to come back and